everybody, and welcome back to Indie Corner Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I have an amazing guest here. Please introduce yourself, sir.
Hey, guys. My name is Joe Lujan. I'm a writer, director, and producer.
All right. And he's done a lot of stuff in the Las Vegas / Los Angeles area, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to, today I decided that we're going to talk mainly about basically creating story worlds and universes and stuff, which is what Joe is really big on. I think that's what your, like, a lot of your strength is on, creating like a universe that kind of expands more. So to begin with, tell us a little bit about, how did you, like, first of all, I want to know, how did you create the name Carcass Studios?
I haven't been asked that question in a very long time, actually. Very long time. So originally, it was Lujan Productions. Very base, you know, basic, simple, straight to the point. But I was really into the horror genre, and that was my focus. I was going to, at that time of my career, at that point, I wanted to focus on nothing but horror films. So I felt like, well, why not make my production company themed horror, dark, you know, type of feel. And that's when Carcass Studios came to life. And I think at that point, our logline was like, where stories decompose or something like that. Yeah.
That's actually, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were going to, you know, I was going to stick to that. But then that all shifted once the Immortal Wars came to life. And I haven't really done a horror feature since I started the Immortal Wars, actually.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. Because I guess it all started with Rust. If I'm correct.
Yeah, Rust was actually my third feature film, I believe. It was my third feature film. And that's where like that whole horror feel started. I really wanted to get into it then. And then it grew to Rust 2 and Italophobia 2. Yeah, it's grown.
So wait, what are your first two movies? Like, are they something that anybody can watch, or is this something that you...
Not at all. Not at all. That is locked up in the Carcass Studios vault for life. No one will see those. Yeah. I can tell you a little bit. One was just like a very wrong turn-ish type of story called Twisted Forest. It's very old school. Like, yeah, I mean, old school for me. I got my cousins and family during our camping trips. I was shooting these feature films. And then there was another one that's very found footage. I don't remember the title of that one. It Follows, or It Followed, or something like that.
Oh, wow. Did It Follow steal your title?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, no one will see those. Okay. There's probably clips online from like reels, like my old director reels, where you can see clips from that, but as far as the full film, no.
Okay. So now to go on to like Immortal Wars and all the films that you've done since those like horror films that you started, and kind of that shift into creating a world, I've noticed, like, I guess does Rust and Italophobia, do they both actually, are they both in that world, same universe?
Well, so technically no. So Rust, Italophobia, and another film I had out called Billy. So I basically have two, there's two universes. There's the Ravage Rain universe, and the parallel universe is called the Dark World. And the Dark World is where all my horror films are connected. So in a new film that I have out called My Little Nightmare, that's where people will see the connection from Italophobia and Rust. Those two films themselves don't cross, but they're connected to Italophobia and Billy. I mean, My Little Nightmare and Billy, that's when they're connected. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So those are connected, and then, all right, so you have two competing worlds, and everything, but they're like absolutely different.
Which... I mean, they do make appearances. They are mentioned, like in the Immortal Wars Resurgence, when the character Dominion Harvey's addressing the nation on the actual news banners, you can actually see what happens to the killer from Rust and the killer of Telephobia, if you read the text. So there's a little Easter egg in there. Yeah.
Wow. I'd never noticed that. I gotta go back and rewatch that. That's really cool. Whether or not you plan that, they are connected, like those universes.
Yeah. In a way. Yeah.
It's the same, which is strange to think because like they are completely different, you know, worlds in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like I would say the dark world is actually a lot more similar to like real life than, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Ravage Rain is very fantasy, action, futuristic. Yeah.
Yeah, futuristic, which is great. I mean, and that started, I believe that all started with an online comic book you did, The Vanquishers, where you basically, did you have like a bunch of the characters already created in that comic book?
Yeah. So it was more like an online comic. I would sketch an image and it would take me very long to do that one image. And I would upload that. I don't remember where. I can't remember what the... because I don't think Facebook was out then. So it might have been maybe MySpace, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Where I would upload the image and then I'd write a whole story on what that image is about.
Okay.
And I did that. You know, I would... It was taking a lot longer because it took me forever to draw. So I didn't like that for years and then it put that to the back burner. It hadn't been called The Vanquishers. It was just focusing on the main character, Tricolypse. So it was always just her like stories and little, you know, experiences that she was going through in her life. That's what those stories were about. And then eventually after all the horror stuff, I was asked to, you know, do something more family friendly. And that's when the Immortal Wars came to life.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Because obviously, I mean, some people like the horror genre and, I mean, with my universe, that my Echo Lake universe, I take, you know, I take like a PG-13 approach to horror, you know, so if there is horror, it's not very scary, you know, it's not like, you know, terrifying or brutal or gory. It's more Blumhouse like, you know, where it's sort of PG-13 sort of, I mean, it's got some blood in it, but not a lot. And then, you know, but I do that because then you can put action in it and other things and kind of fit into the thing. And so that's what I like about Immortal Wars, both the first two. I know like the third and fourth one are coming. So yeah. I'm really excited about that. Did COVID stop like a lot of this stuff because of everything?
Yeah. So the Immortal Wars Rebirth was actually supposed to come out last year. It actually was set for release in 2020. We could have still done it, but I just felt it was, let's wait, you know, let's see if things get better. And then we were supposed to start production on the Immortal Wars Redemption last fall. So, but obviously pushed back a year back. So, but it looks like, you know, everything is set this year. So, we're going to start getting ready for production of the Immortal Wars Redemption. Yeah.
Redemption. And which one's first up, Redemption, or has Rebirth already been done?
Yeah, Rebirth is out. The Rebirth is done. It's, yeah, that one is, that was supposed to come out in 2020, but that one's released already this year. And then the Immortal Wars Redemption, we start production on that, and that's the final installment. We're getting, you know, things set for that. That one, we're probably not looking at a release until maybe the end of 22, maybe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be the last one, so it's gonna take a little longer. You know, I want to end it with a bang and give what the fans want. You know, I like to listen to what the fans of the universe like and what they don't like. You know, they're very vocal.
That's great. Like, I guess back in the day when people made like George Lucas made Star Wars, that's like one of the biggest franchises that anybody could ever. Like imagine, but when he created Star Wars, I don't think he was thinking like, you know, like this would be what it is. You know what I mean? Like they were thinking it was just going to be, I mean, I know he had ideas and stuff. Some of it, I think he just kind of made up as he went along, just like a lot of us do anyway. But he came up with this like whole world and everything. And then just like more, as it got more popular, he was able to make more stuff with it. Is that kind of what you're doing? Like, were you expecting Immortal Wars to be as big as it was, or did it?
Not at all. I was not expecting for it to get the attention that it's received. It goes back to, I've always wanted to be involved with the Marvel film. That was always a dream of mine. Still is, you know, still want to work to get to that point. But I felt like, why wait? Why wait to get that opportunity? Let's just do it. Let's make it ourselves. And so, you know, I faced my fears. It was scary because I had never really done anything sci-fi action. It was all horror. It was my comfort zone. So I was like, let's just do it. And I was, I'm thankful and blessed that it's been able to, you know, get some traction and people are loving what we're creating, and that it's continuing. It's spawned off to so many other spin-offs and sequels, and so I'm really excited.
Web series like the Immortal Legends and stuff that you're doing with that. I mean, it's just like, there's so much content.
Yeah, there is. There's a series that is getting, you know, is we've been working on. It's called Decay's Paradox. It's the spin-off series to the main villain of the Immortal Wars with Lindsay Cruz. And that's something that we started during quarantine. We started to film that during 2020. And it was a more like a passion project, but worked with Chris Ivan, who also plays, he's the lead of the series. And he plays Paradox, which is Decay's brother. So we're kind of showing the siblings, introducing new characters. And I'm really excited. It's a whole different feel. It's not the family-friendly sci-fi action. I went for gory, possibly rated R if it was rated.
I mean, the lead character's name is Decay. So, yeah. I mean, maybe that doesn't sound very, family-friendly.
Yeah.
I love that. Because to me, that is what, and you go back to Marvel, that's what Marvel is really good at. And I've been rewatching a lot of the Marvel stuff. I mean, obviously I've been watching Falcon the Winter Soldier and all the stuff on Disney Plus, but I've also been watching like Captain America Winter Soldier and stuff like that, and just kind of getting back into the swing of that. It's just amazing what they're able, I mean, what they're doing. But they did like the Marvel one-shot shorts, you know, and things like that, just to keep the fans, you know, content going, you know, because
you have to. People love that.
Yeah. And there's only so much, like the Immortal Wars takes a little longer to make, right? Like, it's not something you could just put out and just, I mean, if you had Marvel money, maybe you could, but
that and the Marvel team and crew, maybe,
Even then, they take a while, you know, because it takes a while to make these movies. It's not like, like an indie world that people would cry if it took like 2 years, like it does for a lot of these movies to get made.
Actually, for the Immortal Wars, it almost took that long. It took us, so production for the first Immortal Wars, I think was like, I always mix them up. Either it was 16 days or it was 21 days. And then part two was either or. I think part two was 16 actually, but that was production. But editing, part one took me, I edited the entire thing by myself. It took about a year and 8 months to edit the entire film.
What was that like what made it so long to edit?
The VFX, all the CGI took forever. So I had a team for VFX originally for the first Immortal Wars up until we wrapped production. Then they got pulled into another project. And I was left with the sci-fi action film with no VFX. very stressful time. But we had a team with the executives, and I kind of threw myself under the belt, under the bus. And I was like, I'll do it. And in my head, I'm like, what are you doing? You know, don't do that. And I learned. Thank you to YouTube, because I learned tutorials. And I did it all myself. And it was... I'll be honest, I don't know how I did half the stuff that's in the movie.
Right. Do you have your own camera equipment and everything?
Marcus Studios has all of the equipment as far as like the cameras, lights, and then the editing. I mean, here in the office, I have an editing bay where I just edit and we do VFX. And
So, because I know you did a music video I saw recently. That was actually really, really good. And it was it was once again a way to like incorporate your universe into something else, like another medium, but like a music video having I know Decay was in there.
That was Kaylee Foster.
Yeah.
She that was the theme song for the first Immortal Wars. And in that story, I wanted to tell a story in that music video, and she's actually a deviant and she can tell the future. That's why she sees Decay and Tricalypse and Iroh. Yeah.
That's so cool. So basically you created this, you know, and in a way, like, yeah, this is very, you know, very Marvel like, but it's its own thing, you know, like,
yeah.
I could see you guys continuing on with comics and books and other things too. Is there any?
We do have the comic books. I'm still getting my comic books going. You know, there's still new issues coming out. As far as the movie, I think Redemption will probably be the last Immortal Wars. I've been contemplating it for a couple years now, if I was going to end it and, you know, do something else, maybe start another franchise. Because at this point, I mean, Rust is done as well. Telephobia is done. And yeah, that was like, maybe the Immortal Wars ends with this one and it continues with the books. And I know we have like a collector's players cards collection coming out. So people
wow.
can get their cards of all the characters in the universe.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm also working on an app where it's almost it's like a video game, almost very Mortal Kombat-ish, where you can play on your phone. So there's a lot of mediums that we're aiming for that can continue the story and continue the growth of the characters. Immortal Legends might also continue. There's so many ways we've been thinking of going. But as far as the feature films, I think Redemption will be the last one. Yeah.
I suggest, because I've been looking into video games and other stuff. If you want to do like 8-bit store, you know, like Nintendo style video games or anything like that, there's a group called Yo-Yo Games.
Okay.
And
I'm gonna write that down.
Yo-Yo Games, definitely do. Somebody told me about it and I absolutely, it's the best thing. It's really cheap too. It's not very expensive. I'm not sponsored by them. I wish I was, but I'm just telling anybody, like, if you're into making a universe or doing stuff and adding content, I mean, this is what I like to push. I like to push transmedia and I like to push doing your own universes because it's so easy now, you know, like everybody wants. So there's things like you said, you edited your own project, but there are people who edit projects. You know, there are people who do visual effects. There are people who, and if you don't know how to do these things, all you got to do is ask somebody to do it for you. You pay somebody
something
or whatever, and then they go and do it for you. And Fiverr's been amazing, you know, compared. I mean, it's not $5 anymore, but.
Yeah, no, not at all.
You know, but you don't need that. Like, you don't need it to be $5. You wouldn't want it to be that much or whatever.
Yeah.
That'd be cheap, you know?
I found that's how I did it with my comic books. So I know how to draw and I know how to sketch and all that, but it takes me a long time. And with productions and I just don't have the time to sit there and draw. So what I do is I contract in artists. I contract artists and that's how they will illustrate my story. And I work very closely with them. I tell them, you know, in this box, I want them to be throwing power and they have it's almost written like a script. They go by that. I give them all my original designs and they kind of create off that. And that's how the books come to life.
Wow. Yeah. See, I mean, there you go. You're exactly doing it the right way. You're making connections with people and you're putting your stuff out there and you're helping other people because you know, give
them the opportunity to be involved with what we're doing.
That's exactly. And I think that's an amazing thing. Like if somebody doesn't know how to do something, there's YouTube, as you said.
Yeah.
There's a million different things that can teach you how to do these things. And we live in a world right now where it's just perfect for, you know, working with others and making the creations we want, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And with technology now, it's so much, it's easier to just create something with the resources you have. I mean, you don't need no $1,000 camera. You know, it's, I've ran into a lot of colleagues and people I know that are in the industry that their projects never see the light of day, unfortunately, just because they don't have this or they don't have that, and they let that ruin the process. And it's unfortunate, but you shouldn't. You should use what you have and use it to the best of your ability. I mean, we shot so for Chris Ivan, I shot a music video out in Santa Monica, and it wasn't anything like huge, no big production. It was a small production, but I pulled out his cell phone and we started filming the entire thing on his cell phone. Right. You know, we shot the entire music video on his cell phone and it came out flawless. I mean, it was like, if I had my Black Magic out there and we were filming, it was insane to see. It doesn't matter what you have, it's as long as you know how to use it and the end product, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the way we kind of go with about things.
I mean, all iPhones are freaking 4K now. There's no reason that people should use that as an excuse of like, well, I can't do it because I don't have X and X amount of money. You know, I mean, there's Indiegogo or Kickstarter or whatever way you can.
Always a way. Yeah.
There's always a way. And so I really always kind of tell people, you know, just keep pushing it, you know, making the content you want to make. And now not only YouTube, but we have like TikTok and we have a ton of different.
There's so many platforms out there.
Yeah. So have you done TikTok yet?
I am on TikTok. Yes. My goddaughter's got me on it. So I do all the crazy dances and all that. Yes. I love it.
I know, but like, I mean, the cool thing I'm being using it for is to like introduce characters or something.
Yeah. I mean, we've thought of that. We have thought of that. It's just, I personally just think social media is so much work. It's like, you know, there's so many, obviously the good thing is that there's so many platforms, but then it's also the bad thing is that it's so hard to keep up with everything.
Everything,
so,
right? Yeah.
So I know I always have to, you know, if they post on Instagram, I'm like, oh, well, you guys make sure to post up on Twitter as well. We always forget one. So maybe that's a good idea. I like that idea. Maybe.
You need like a social media intern or something. Yeah, like we had a couple of those before in our company, and it usually gets to be like a little like, I mean, I'm one of those people, I'm probably like you, where I think of like work when I want to like farm something out to somebody else, I have to write them everything out, yeah, right? And I have to tell them what I'm planning to do. And I'm just like, why don't I just do this myself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then you end up doing it.
Right. I end up doing it, which is just so annoying because, like, I want to give it to, and people are like, you need to give it to the other people. And I'm like, I like, if I do that, I mean, what's the point? Like, we were doing stuff with IMDb, you know, like, it's so easy for me to just upload everything onto IMDb. But you know what? There's right now we have a team, you know, and so we got to kind of do it like that. So
learn to delegate. That's how it was a challenge for me, but that was one thing that they told me, like, you need to learn how to delegate. And, you know, I'm like, okay, it took me a while, but I think I've gotten the hang of it a little bit. Yeah.
Is there things because just like me, I'm very bad at delegating it. And from the very beginning of producing, I don't know how to, like, you know, people are like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm like, there's nothing I can't do.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know. What do you want to do? You know, like, I'm sure you're like that too at times. You're just like,
oh, yeah. A lot of the times I'm like that. Yeah.
Do you surround yourself with a team, right? Of people that
I do. Yeah. I do have a team that, I mean, I have my manager and I have an agent that obviously help with the big stuff that I'm doing. But Carcass Studios has a core team that, I mean, just anytime we come up with an idea, we're always throwing ideas to each other. And even me with my crazy ideas, I'm like, well, maybe I want to do a possessed doll movie, just like Billy. And they're like,
right,
do you have a doll? I'm like, no, but I can make one and I will make it and we'll do it. And, you know, it's just, yeah, no, everyone's very supportive and respectful. And we just like to have fun, man. That's the main thing. We just want to create, have fun and make our prints here in this world. So when we're gone, people remember what we did, you know?
We had a script for a haunted doll movie and stuff. And based on our friend Stro has a doll named Dorothy, you know, okay. that, you know, so we were like, oh, let's make write a whole script, and never got made just because just too many other projects got in the way or whatever. But I mean, we are planning one day, hopefully. So don't think we're stealing your idea or anything.
No, maybe, not at maybe all. Maybe no.
Dorothy versus Billy, you know.
Hey, I have done a Telephobia versus Rust already.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, we have done that. And Billy makes an appearance in that. It's a short film. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you never know.
You never know. I mean, but that's the beauty of this.
We've been in talks with someone. I'm not sure if I could say this. I mean, he might get mad at me, but okay. So we there's a director called John Ward.
I know John.
John. So you know Axmus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the talks. It's been for a while. We want to do Rust versus Axmus. So that's something that we've kind of fumbled for a while now.
I'll ask him after this if I need to cut this out.
Yeah. Yeah, because he might want to hold that. We were going to do it, but then COVID happened and yeah.
Yeah. He's a great guy. And that's the thing. Like when I was actually in Vegas, because I drove all the way from LA to back to Virginia. I the first place I stopped is Vegas on the way home, and I was like, hey John, come on over, you know, to I checked into Caesar's Palace. Worst place, by the way,
I've never stayed there.
You never stayed there. Well, I mean, you obviously live in or whatever, you don't you stay yeah. there. You don't really need to. But it's just too big, you know, and it just takes like 10 minutes just to get to your room, you know, and everything.
I could imagine actually. Same thing with like, what's that, the green one, MGM.
Yeah, like the Grand or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not really into casinos. Like I don't gamble or anything.
Anytime I'm in Vegas, I don't ever go to the Strip, ever.
Unless it was just cheap.
Is there, then we'll go to the Strip if family's with me or something.
It was just cheap, by the way. That's the only reason why we did it. And it ended up costing it more because of you guys had the actually it was pretty cheap. It was like for some reason they knocked off like a lot of stuff, but I thought they were gonna make me do the property tax and everything.
Oh yeah.
Everything
for everything.
Well, which is weird because LA doesn't have that many, but everything's I guess way more expensive already. Yeah. So you know, whatever. But anyway, Virginia is very cheap and everything. I enjoy living back here.
I've never been
to Virginia. Have you been to the East Coast at all?
I don't know.
Well, you gotta come out, man.
When the Immortal Wars 2 came out, I was doing a lot of traveling. I was on a press tour for that film. But were so many screenings and book signings. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know half the places I went. That's really bad to say.
By the way, that's awesome that you're able to do, like, book signings. And
it was fun to – and one of the main reasons why that all happened was just because I love to connect with the readers of the books, the fans of the movies. I learned a lot, actually, to name a few things that I learned. So one thing that I heard a lot from the viewers were they loved the movie, but they did not like that I took out the element of that combat, that versus combat, like it was in the first one.
Right. Okay.
I heard that a lot. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, I wanted to go a different route with the sequel, but you know what? Maybe in the last one, I'll go back to that. I'll throw that back in there if they want to see that. You know, so it was like,
you learned that.
Yeah. And then there was a character called Rain that has only made like minor appearances in the first two Immortal Wars. And throughout that tour, everyone was like, well, when are we going to see more of this character? We love this character in the books. And I'm like, really? You guys like this character? Like, I thought you guys were going to say, I want to see more Decay or something. You know, it was just like, but it was Rain. I'm like, okay, so he became a big character in the Immortal Wars Rebirth.
Yeah, that's a really good thing there, because a lot of times the smaller characters that we create, that we just kind of maybe throw away characters who whatever, become bigger bigger people to people, because the other ones are more of the focus. And so they see enough of them, they want to see more of the other characters. Yeah. So that's good advice for me too, just so you know. Yeah. I'm going to take that to heart. I wanted to mention though, the Mortal Kombat-esque-ness of the first one. Like I always said that the first Mortal Wars was like Hunger Games meets, Mortal Kombat, you know, that's how I always described it. And I forgot, some other people have said other things, like I'm sure you've heard different, you know, versions, but Mortal Kombat part, I really like the fighting and
everything.
But in the second one, I liked it because it felt like a different video game, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted to go with. I didn't want it to be repetitive. That was having. So I wanted it to be more. I used the description. And I know I probably shouldn't, but I like to just say it's like Resident Evil meets Mad Max ish.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like the description I kind of gave the sequel.
And I can see that.
Yeah, but like I said, with this next one, we will definitely be putting in that combat. If you haven't seen the Blu-ray remaster of the Immortal Wars, you have to, because there's so much more. So like the versus element in part one, there's more VFX on top of it now. So it looks almost like if you're looking at a screen of a video game. So you see the health meters, you see the name of the characters, the sectors. It's really
cool. Oh, very cool. Yeah. Where can people get the Blu-ray?
So the Blu-rays you can find on carcass-studios.com. You can buy those. Those will be exclusive. Those are exclusive items and merchandise only on the website or during like conventions or book signings that I do, or screenings. We also do have like a gift shop, a pop-up shop during screenings when we have premieres and all that. Yeah.
That is so cool. I'll definitely have to get the Blu-ray of it. I'm a huge, huge fan of Blu-ray. I've got a 4K player. You want to see it. Because, I mean, there's a difference between, like, maybe a shot on video, like, mini DV movie. I don't think those necessarily need a Blu-ray. You know?
Exactly.
But a film that was actually shot in at least 1080p, if not higher, you know, deserve a better...
Oh, it's day and night. I mean, when you see the way it is, the way it was released originally, the first Immortal Wars on VOD and on DVD... you can't compare it to the Blu-ray. I mean, it's day and night. I mean, it was very dark. There were a lot of dark moods to it, and just the Blu-ray just brought it up. It's more vibrant. There's more colors. It's better to experience it on Blu-ray for sure.
Now, I'm surprised that ITN, because they have put out some movies on Blu-ray, so I'm just surprised that they didn't put it out on Blu-ray.
No, they didn't release it. So the Blu-rays is just, like I said, it's an exclusive release from Carcass Studios. So it's right. Like, it's only something we're releasing. Yeah. Yeah, we're the only ones doing that. No one else will be releasing a Blu-ray for actually any of my films. Even Atelophobia and Rust, each one of those series, there's Blu-ray double features that are released that are out, also available on the website. And same thing. I mean, Rust Day is day and night. From the DVD to the Blu-ray is just phenomenal. I'm really proud of the way it looks.
So I re-looked at like Rust on Tubi. And yeah, I could definitely tell that probably the Blu-ray will look a lot better, a lot cleaner.
So every time like, where can I find your film on VOD? I'm like, no, buy the Blu-ray or I'll give you one. I'll give you a Blu-ray. That's the way you should see it. Don't judge off that.
I actually heard that John Ward said, he told me he watched the stuff on Blu-ray and he said like it's just cleaner and more, you know, crisp.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah, I remember he gave me a call after he had watched it and he was like, dude, like what happened? This is so good. I was like, I don't know. This is just the way the Blu-ray looks. And
you're very happy about that.
Very happy about it. Yes, very happy. You know, if we do a re-release, with another distribution company, I would definitely push for them to do the Blu-ray releases so people can see it the way all the films, how they should have been seen originally.
Do you have commentaries on there or anything?
I want to say there's probably commentary on Rust.
On Rust.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Now, is there a reason that you just not have time to do commentaries, or are you?
We always say we're going to do it and we're going to get it going, but there's always scheduling issues.
And you don't want to be the only one talking, right?
Exactly. I want to bring my leads in for that. So our schedules are always, everywhere when it comes to me and my actors and all that. So yeah, it just never works out. That's why we focus a lot on more of the special features, more like gag reels and the making of. We do a lot of our interviews knowing, obviously, how schedules can get while we're shooting production. So we do interview the cast, and we do that during lunch breaks, or we can steal them away for a minute or two, interview them, and then, we're back to production. I have a team that does that just because, like I said, schedules always end up clashing.
Yeah. That happens on every set. So,
yeah.
But that's great, man. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of what you're doing, period. Like I love, and I'm excited to know, like, even if this ends, that you have like other plans for other stuff and you're still continuing this like universe and
form
or whatever.
There is another feature that is out or coming out, I should say, called Obscura. Obscura is a horror sci-fi action. It is a prequel to The Immortal Wars. It's a creature film. I co-directed that with Jerry Angelo, and it was written by Jerry Angelo and Lachlan Jones. So it was the first time I had actually directed something that someone else wrote, but based off of like my characters.
If
that
kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. That's really cool.
It was an experience to, I basically told them these are the characters. This has to happen at one point. This can't happen. And that's when, they let their creativity flow and they created the script. And yeah, I'm really excited. It was a fun project. We actually shot that out in Goldfield, the entire film out in Goldfield, Nevada.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it was really cool to see that, story come to life, but it's a prequel to The Immortal Wars. Yeah.
So, all right. What about, I saw something on you have a timeline, which is, I think is amazing, by the way. Like, I think that's, I'm going to steal a lot of your ideas, by the way.
Go for it.
the timeline thing I think is really neat. And the thing that, like, the last one, it says, like, Terminus,
yeah.
Yeah, well, can you tell us something about that?
So originally Terminus was supposed to be an animated series that I was working with an animator. But obviously with scheduling and with budget restraints and then COVID, that kind of was kicked off, and now it's just going to be, we're working on now just an animated short film called Terminus, which that short film follows the events after all the comic books of the Vanquishers and all the Immortal Wars movies.
So will that be like last period? Like, will that be the?
I mean, it can, but I don't. Here I go again. I don't think I'm going to end it there. I think the comic books will continue after that.
Oh, okay.
After those events, yeah.
Okay, so there'll just be kind of like a brand new stories after that.
Yeah, yeah. At that point in that story in Terminus, I can say that the Vanquishers have disbanded. They're no longer together. Triclops is now on her own, and she creates a new team called Team Terminus, and that's where that story starts going.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. I mean, by the way, I love Jackie, and I love Lindsay. I love all of your cast and everything that you do, but Jackie, like, really brings it to life.
It was one of the biggest reasons we cast her was her audition. She basically almost made like a short film with like sound effects, and like it was just when I saw her audition, we had auditioned, I want to say like 70 girls around.
Oh, wow.
I just couldn't find the right fit for the character, obviously keeping in mind that this was at that point, it was already set for it to be a trilogy of three films. There was three scripts already done, so I needed to find an actor that can hold that character for the next three installments. So yeah, I had a hard time, but then I found Jackie and we met up. I think we met up like at a Starbucks in Las Vegas. And yeah, then we brought her on board, and she's just a kick. She's a badass. She really is. Yeah.
I mean, her character, everybody's character, they all accompany. And I got to like, okay, so when I moved to LA in 2020, worst year to move anywhere, worst time. But on January 12th, my birthday of last year, I got to work on a asylum movie called Collision Earth with your buddy, Eric Roberts. Oh, and wow. Yeah, and he was just the nicest guy in the world, you know, just yeah, I just fun to work with. Yeah, I should have asked him about more awards, but I didn't really have time to like chit chat with him more or less. Yeah, but
I'll be honest, he probably doesn't remember the Immortal Wars. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. So traveling back to when I first started the Immortal Wars, I was terrified of Eric Roberts. For some reason, I was scared. It was the first project where I had an actual name actor who's, you know, I mean, Oscar nominated. He was, you know, a big deal. So when he walked on set, I was just nervous. And but then we hit it off well, and really nice guy. He treated me very well, and he was a real cool guy. But when it came to the sequel, I was helping one of the PAs put something up. I think it was a light or, yeah, something we were putting up. And my DP comes in, and he also puts it up, and he's helping as well. Well, Eric turns around, and he's like, he tells the DP, you're gonna do this? Shouldn't your PAs do this? And he points at me, and my DP's like, no, that's actually Joe. He's the director. Eric was like, oh shit, man, I'm sorry. Like, it was just, I was like, he didn't remember, you know?
Yeah. So, well, he does like how many movies a year? Like,
yeah, he did a lot. Yeah.
I mean, it's the funniest thing is I mentioned how much I loved him in Suits, the TV show Suits. And he goes, oh yeah, I did that show, didn't I? And it was just like, yeah. He just like forgets, like, I'm sure. Yeah. So I'm like, oh.
I would too. If I was doing projects like that back to back, that I just go act and I leave and I go act and I leave, I would forget myself.
Yeah, I mean, because
I forget half of my stuff too.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you're doing so much, you're working with so many different people. It's really hard to kind of remember everything you're doing.
Yeah.
You know? So I get it. Yeah. I just kind of laughed when he was just like, I did that one too. I did that. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, to me, it's awesome to see him on everything that he does, you know.
He's a great actor. He's a great actor.
Yeah. He comes in, he knows his lines. He's just good.
No, you know? Honestly, I mean, I don't think I could have chosen anyone else better to play Dominion Harvey. He does such a good job at Dominion Harvey.
Yeah, and that I think brought a lot to the film. Like you said, he was a name actor, but he was also somebody who had a professional demeanor about him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he could, you know, I think he like knows what he, you know, what he's going to bring, and like he's already ready for it, you know.
Oh yeah. And then designing that character too was just like seeing his suits, like I literally still have the suits he wore in the films, and they're put away in their cases, and they're put away because I'm like, no one's gonna touch these suits. Like, these are Eric Roberts, this is Dominion Harvey, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see, he's coming back for the next one, so I'm really excited to see what we can create. So he looks different, but he's still the badass from the first two, you know. So yeah, I'm really excited to have him back.
By the way, I was going to ask you about that because you kind of left it ambiguous as to whether or not he would kind of return or not.
He will. I'll give away too much if I say how he'll be back, but he'll be back.
Okay, good. Yeah. So rest assured, Eric Roberts fans, you know.
Yes, we are. We'll bring Eric Roberts back. Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked him because, I mean, I was just an actor on set. I was also supposed to be a PA, but unfortunately, they had me acting too, like, and I thought I was just going to be like an extra, you know.
Okay. In the thing. How was it working on an asylum film? I've never been, like, to be honest, I've always wanted to direct an asylum film.
You might be able to, I don't know.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
You gotta know the right person, because that's literally how I did it. Is I chatted with the main guy, one of the main guys, Paul Bales. He said, oh, we have, you know, he mentioned, you know, to the line producer that I was interested in doing it. Line producer happened to be a friend of mine. He messaged me and said, hey, what are you doing today? It was my birthday and no plans, you know, that day. And I was like, I would love to act. He asked me to PA and act at the same time. And I was like, okay, This is going to be interesting, but I thought I was only going to be in like one scene, like one time, you know, like just one.
Yeah. Part.
They had me the whole time there. And so I could not PA, like, you know, or whatever. If I was not needed for that scene, I would go and help out or whatever. But like, but then they'd be like, can you bring Jonathan back? You know? So it was like, all right.
That's cool.
So yeah. So I remember, like, I remember just Eric Roberts being very, very nice, you know, completely, yeah. Like, very you nice. Know, like very professional and very, just very nice to everybody. You know, he would take yeah. selfies with people and.
Oh yeah. Great guy. I mean, he was, yeah. I remember when we rapped, I was like, yeah, I wanted to, I fanboyed a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's Eric Roberts. So it's like, I just directed this whole feature. You're one of the main characters. Can I take a picture? And he was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, he was real cool about it.
Well, he was taking pictures with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and everything like that, which I mean, some people would be like, no, you know, yeah. whatever, you know what I mean? Because like, I don't know, but he just was just really sweet, just nice guy. And yeah. I had a blast. I'm kind of sad that like, that's how I met him. Cause I wanted my first meeting to be actually directing him as well.
Yeah. So,
I want to eventually direct him, and I don't want him because he won't remember me as that guy in the thing. Because if he doesn't even remember, like, you know, like what episode,
you remember me.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't think he'll remember like me necessarily from that. So if he does, I'll be very surprised, you know. But he was very nice. I liked working with him, and I, you know, I keep telling people to, if you get a chance to work with him, do it, because I think, you know, sometimes people get like bad reps on things, you know, or
yeah, something. Actually, and then it ends up, you know, it bites you in the ass later on, you right. know. But like, I'll say the other actor I worked with that was phenomenal was Bill Overs Jr.
Oh God, I love Bill. He's such a nice guy.
Phenomenal actor and sweet guy. I love that guy. Like, he just, I remember it was after we had wrapped the first Immortal Wars, we went out for dinner. Me, him, and some of the producers, and he's just a great guy to chat with, and to, very sweet, nice guy. Like, I remember he on set, he's like, "You need anything else from me? You know, you want anything else? You know," I'm just like, "Oh shit, yeah!" Like, he wasn't just like, "I'm done. We'll see you later. Bye." You know, it's right. like,
even I'll be in my trailer.
Yeah, like, "I'm done. I did what I had to do. We'll see you guys later." No, he was just like, "You want anything else from me? Like, let's, you know, whatever you want." I'm like, "Oh shit, that's cool." Like, very sweet guy. Yeah, I'd love. He actually came out in a Telephobia 2. I brought him out for a Telephobia 2 as well.
Oh, wow. Very
yeah,
cool.
So,
yeah. So there you go. It's about building relationships with these guys who you might have watched in another movie or something exactly. you're a fan of. You know, exactly. I got to work with Tina Krause. I don't know if you know who she is, but she's in, she's been in a lot of, if you look at her resume, she's been in a lot of movies.
Okay.
Period. And so she was just like very easy to work with. Just like, you know, you tell her what to do, she gives you 100, I like, sounds silly, but 110% for real. Like,
yeah,
she goes above and beyond, and that's what you want, you know, from your yeah. actors, you
of
know?
Course. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. It's a, when you connect with your actors and you get to a certain level, you can then rely on them. You know what to expect from them. They know what to expect from you type of scenario.
Exactly.
And that it transitions well on camera. You can definitely see it on camera.
Definitely. I love that. Like, I can't wait to like start putting out a lot of my stuff, but I'm sure you can't wait. Like, it's gotta be hard when you're doing so much content and putting so much out there that a lot of it's in the editing bay and a lot of it's getting, you know, and you're just like, I want this to be like out and available. Okay. Right.
Yeah. I think that's how we were getting with the Immortal Wars Rebirth. Because at that time we were like, the Immortal Wars Rebirth is like on the already ready to go, but then we're in post-production on Decay's Paradox. Then we're still in production with Rust 3. So there was so many things because of 2020 that started piling up on us
mm-hmm.
that we started hitting that point where like, I just want all this stuff out already. Like, it feels, even though it's going to be new to the viewers and the fans of the previous installments, to me, it felt old. Mm-hmm. It felt, because we had shot it in 2019. We had shot scenes in 2017, so it's just like, it needs to be out already,
right?
Yeah.
That yeah, so it's out, right? You said it's
yeah
available.
So yeah, Rust 3 comes out though in October November time is when we're aiming for Rust 3, and that'll be the last Rust maybe.
You yeah. say that, but who knows, you know.
I got an idea a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to like one of my writers, and he's like, "That's not a bad idea, but I thought you said Russ was done." I was like, "I know." I know.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty, is you can do, like, you can put these out as like shorts or different things.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I have two anthologies that are coming out soon that feature Travis McClinton from Rust and Meredith from Metallophobia and Billy and the Ghost Girl from My Little Nightmare. I have these anthologies of just short films, and I basically connected them all. And I have a short, now I have an anthology, two, one called Hen Night, and then another one called Lost Souls. So I'm really excited for those to come out.
Let me ask you about, because Immortal Wars 1 and 2 were put out by ITN. Mm-hmm. Is all the other two also going to be out through ITN as well?
I don't know. As far as like the Immortal Wars Rebirth, so I guess I should say this too. So with the Immortal Wars Rebirth, I don't want people to expect to see the Immortal, like a exact follow-up to the Immortal Wars 2. The Immortal Wars 2, we went big, we went hardcore. There was explosions, there was a lot going on. With the Immortal Wars 3, it's within, if you notice on the timeline, I don't know if people have caught this, it's actually parallel to the Immortal Wars Resurgence.
Right. I saw that.
It's not past it. It's not before it, but it's literally at the same point of Resurgence. So
is it a different tale, basically, from...
It's happening simultaneously as what's happening in Resurgence.
So it's not the same group of people, though, right? It's a different group?
I do cross them at certain points.
That is so freaking cool. Like, that's a good idea. Oh, yeah, wow. I like that.
It does cross at certain points. But I'm basically... It's very, very character-driven. Lots of dialogue. There is some action in it. There's lots of, you know... VFX and sci-fi in it still, but it's very it's almost like a drama sci-fi with some action in it. It's kind of
cool. Yeah,
and originally it was supposed to be a feature. It's been going back and forth. It was supposed to be a feature, and then once I had watched it complete, we sat there and we're like, you know what, I think this will actually work out as a series. What if we just cut it into episodes? I think it'll work out better that way. So it was cut into a series. Then I started sending screeners to certain people that I usually send all my stuff to watch, to get reviewed and stuff. And they were telling me how they really are enjoying it and how they're being left with more. And then I brought up that idea. I was like, well, do you think it should be cut as a feature? And they're like, dude, yeah, like you need to put this as a feature and release it as a feature. So then I went back to like, okay, no, I think we're going to release it as a feature. You know, but then it's just been back and forth just because I don't know. Obviously a certain part of me is like, obviously want to give the fans what they want.
Right.
And, you know, and that they enjoy it as much as they can. But then I also have to put my personal cap on and say, like, I also shouldn't always have to be worried if I'm going to be making them happy or not. You know, this is the way we released it. And I hope you guys enjoy it. If not, totally get it. You guys like the first two, you know what I mean?
Right. I mean,
but, yeah.
There is, and I actually posted about this recently. There's a point where listening to people can really help, you know, but there's also a point of like listening to yourself and doing what you want to do, especially since you are in that frame right now. You're in that time, you know, where you can do kind of your own thing, you know. Yeah. I mean, you're not Marvel, you know, you're not listening to Kevin Feige tell you what to do.
Exactly.
You're the Kevin Feige.
I have that luxury, I guess you could say, that I can, you know, if I wanted to re-release the Immortal Wars 1 and re-edit it, I can do that, you know. It's just believe it or not, I do that a lot, where I'll go back and I'll re-edit and I'll change it, and I constantly have the team like, stop. That's in the past. That's like 2 years ago. Let's get ready for something else new.
How very George Lucas of you.
I don't know what it is. It happens a lot. It happens a lot. There's, I think, a telephobia. Obviously, they'll never be seen, but a telephobia has like 4 or 5 different cuts.
Oh, wow.
I cut that film around 8 times in total before the final one was done and sent out for distribution. But there's like 5 complete cuts of the film that no one will ever see, but they're sitting there.
they're somewhere,
but yeah.
That's interesting. But yeah, no, I love that though. Like, I mean, if it's in the past, you really probably should just go on to like the present / future of what you're planning to do.
Exactly.
But it's also interesting to see, like, you know, you look back. I mean, there was, you know, there was talks about me recutting a, it was something I did, you know, and everything, and having it done differently the way I originally planned it. But unfortunately, time and just trying to get it out as quickly as possible became more of the thing. And so we lost a few things that I really wanted to kind of include, and it happens, you know. I would like to recut it. I just don't know if it's worth it, you know, like,
I think it's already out there behind it. I can see a logical reason why to, like, for us with, when we were getting ready for the Immortal Wars Rebirth release, I'm releasing a box set, a Ravage Reign box set is what we're putting together right now, where it includes every single movie on Blu-ray. It comes with the Immortal Legends on Blu-ray, all the comic books, Decay's Paradox on Blu-ray. So it's every installment of the universe in a box set. So when we started, coming up with that, I then decided, well, then I want to release a remastered version of the Immortal Wars, a way people haven't seen it. So that's why we went back to add all the VFX of like the video game-esque type things. And, you know, and so with that, it was like, that gave me the reason to go back and revamp it a bit, you know.
So is that still available, the box set?
So the box set hasn't come out yet. It will be coming out. We were aiming for the summer. But yeah.
Actually, technically it might already be out, because this interview I told you earlier is going to be out in August. So
maybe. We're kind of setting up, if we're going to have premieres, like screening premieres. That's kind of still being worked out, obviously, with what's going on with 6 feet apart and theaters and all that. So we're kind of still trying to figure that out, because it's different in every state. We know in Las Vegas it's possible. In LA right now, it's not. You know, in Texas, we're still investigating if we can do that. So that's why we haven't put a set date of the box set. Because if you buy the box set, people won't go see the screening. They have it at their home. They won't leave their home. They feel comfortable at home watching it. So that's where we have to kind of hold off on an actual physical release before a screening.
Yeah. That's where things are getting weird now with COVID and everything. Like, streaming is becoming very, very popular.
Yes.
because that's all people have, you know, and everything.
I love going to theaters. Like when I'm in Vegas, I love to go to the theaters. Theaters are open there. You know, it's like, I saw King Kong there. It's like, I missed that, the experience of sitting in a theater with your popcorn and just forgetting about all the BS in life and just losing yourself in what you're watching on that screen. I miss it. And that's why I was like, now we got to get back to doing that.
That's true. This is the last movie that I saw in the theater was Bad Boys for Life. And
really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. And that was, I think I'm going to say that was February of 2020. So it was about that, you know, and February or March, I'm pretty sure it's February, because March really everything, it could have been March, but it, like everything started shutting down.
March, actually, yeah. Because things were still okay in March. Mid-March is when things started to get a little crazy.
Yeah, it's freaking nuts. So yeah. I just want to say thank you. Is there any more things that you wanted to like let people know about, like that's going on, that especially in the universe that you created?
Yeah, no, I mean, just I first want to thank everyone who's a fan of the universe, and it means a lot to me personally, because I've put so much into this universe. I've been a fan of comic books and cinematic universes since I was a kid. So the fact that people are connecting with this universe that I've don't know how it comes into my head and it just comes to life, it's very humbling, and blessed that people are connecting to it. And thank you for everyone who supports what we're doing, and look out for more installments. I mean, we have more books, and we have the collector's cards coming out real soon. And just continue to support the arts and independent artists and directors and actors. It's very important. They're the future of the industry. And I think it's very important that everyone connects, you know, and supports. And if you guys want to see more, you guys can go to carcass-studios.com or joeluhan.com or search Joe Lujan or Carcass Studios on any social media platform. And you guys can see exclusive content. And if you follow, we'll follow back.
I definitely recommend everybody checking out the website, because there is content on there that seems to be just from the website and everything, where people can kind of see what's going on. So, and everything, and kind of keep up to date. So I would recommend it. We'll put a little thing in there, like letting people know where to, how to do it too. So they can just click it and come check it out and everything. Thank you. Yeah, no, definitely. I really appreciate it. Like I said, I admire what you're doing. I'm going to continue watching. I'm going to start buying those movies. And now I'm just thinking, I'm just going to wait for the freaking box set, you know, so just buying that.
It's going to come with some cool stuff. I mean, we're putting extras and some of the collector cards also will be in the box set as well. So
did you say the comics will be too, like the actual comics will be in there too?
The entire collection of the comic book series will also be in the box set.
Like an actual like hold, or is it like on
actual comic book?
Oh, dude. All right. I'm sold.
I thought I had to hear, but you'll have the physical comics as well in the box.
That's so cool, man. I love that. I want to do comics. I want to do all of it, because I adore all of this stuff too. So like, I get
it. You can do it. Anything is possible. You definitely can do it. You just have to, like you said, find the right person to help you, and you know, it's possible.
Exactly. Well, thank you, sir. And everybody, check out Joe's stuff, man, because he's constantly making content, man. And that to me is the way to go these days, you know? Thank you. So thank you guys, and have a good one. Bye.